number four. In my house, nothing will get you in bigger trouble than lying. It started raining hard that morning, which meant we had to stay inside room 209 for recess, which I sometimes like because it means Mrs. Hunter gets out her old board games from when she was a kid and lets us play with them. Her games are very old-fashioned and make us laugh, such as The Game of Life, which is Erica's favorite, which has little cars for game pieces. The cars move along a board with a wheel you spin that tells you how many spaces you can move your car. Inside your car are little holes you can fill up with pink and blue pegs. The mom and dad and their babies, as Erica calls them. All Erica wants to do is fill up her car with as many pegs as she can, even though that's not the point of the game. Having a career and making money is. But Erica just wants to have a car full of little pink and blue pegs. The game I like is Clue. It's a murder mystery game. It's my favorite. But the only other person in our class who likes it is Joey Fields. Sophie says Clue is morbid. Sophie's favorite game is Monopoly. That's a game where you try to own as much property as you can. And if someone's game piece lands on your property, they have to pay you. I hate this game more than any game ever invented. Even more than I hate Boggle, which is a word search game of Mrs. Hunter's that no one likes but Caroline. The only game that all of my friends will agree to play together is The Game of Life, even though Erica won't play it right. We were playing The Game of Life. Even Rosemary agreed to play, though usually she plays indoor finger football with the boys, when Cheyenne O'Malley walked up to us with her good friends Marianne and Dominique, or M and D as she likes to call them, behind her and said, "So, Allie, I understand that you're taking a limo to Glitterati." I was busy achieving great things in the game of life, so I didn't really have time to talk to Cheyenne. "Yeah, so?" I said, spinning the wheel. "So, I just think you should know," Cheyenne said, "Glitterati is for babies." "No, it's not," Rosemary said, not looking up from the game board. "I heard a girl in fifth grade went there for her birthday party last month, so you're wrong, Cheyenne."
"And for someone who is super concerned about acting mature," Caroline added, "you're sure not acting like it at the moment, Cheyenne."
Cheyenne's face turned a delicate shade of pink that matched the pegs in Erica's car.
"Well," she said, "I guess you think you're so great, don't you, Allie? Because you get to ride in a limo and eat at the Cheesecake Factory and stay in a fancy hotel this weekend."
"She doesn't even want to go," Erica said, looking up from her little car crammed full of passengers. "She wants to go to my sister Missy's Trolltacular. Her mom is making her go to Brittany Hauser's birthday party. If Allie doesn't go, her mom could get fired from Good News."
This wasn't going quite the way I'd planned. Soon, a lot more people than I thought were going to know about my lie.
"Well," Cheyenne said, "just so you know, if you're going to a party where the girl's parents are taking you out to dinner and to Glitterati and all that, you better make sure the cost of the gift you're giving her is equal to or more than the amount her parents are spending on you. I'm only telling you this," Cheyenne added, "because you're so immature, I'm sure you don't know it already, Allie. I'm trying to help you."
Rosemary slammed her fist down onto the Game of Life game board, making everyone's game pieces jump. Then she stood up slowly. "None of us," she said, looking Cheyenne straight in the eye, "needs help like yours, Cheyenne."
"Speak softly to your neighbors, please," Mrs. Hunter called from her desk, where she was sitting preparing a lesson.
We all looked over and saw that Mrs. Hunter was staring at us with her green eyes crackling, which is exactly what you didn't want from Mrs. Hunter, who was the prettiest, nicest teacher I'd ever had, and who'd once told my grandma that I was a joy to have around the classroom. But Mrs. Hunter could be very scary when she got angry. We lowered our voices immediately. Cheyenne, who had to tilt her head a little to look Rosemary in the eye because Rosemary was so much taller than she was, seemed a bit scared. And not of Mrs. Hunter.
"Whatever," Cheyenne whispered. "I was only trying to be a friend, that's all. Jeez."
Cheyenne and her two pals, M and D, slunk back to their desks where they were busy doing what they usually did on rainy days, drawing fairies with Mrs. Hunter's collection of glitter gel pens, which I did too sometimes when I wasn't busy drawing zombies to show Stuart Maxwell that I could, or playing the game of life.
Don't listen to her, Ellie, Caroline said after Cheyenne had left. You don't have to get Brittany a huge, expensive gift, no matter how much her parents are paying for her party.
Right, Sophie said. Remember for your birthdays last year, Caroline and Erica, I made you each photo albums of pictures of us together?
I loved that, Erica smiled. You scrapbooked that cover for it using funny things we used to say last summer.
Hey, you in the yellow swim trunks, Caroline said. I'll have another donut, please. No, I'll have two, Sophie cried.
Caroline dissolved into giggles, which was unusual for her, since Caroline wasn't a giggler.
Remember Little Hiawatha?
Sophie screamed politely.
I was so sure we were going to get caught, Erica said.
Girls, Mrs. Hunter said. Please keep it down. We don't want Mrs. Danielson coming in here now, do we?
No, ma'am, Rosemary said.
She glared at Erica, Caroline, and Sophie, who were crying they were laughing so hard.
You guys, Rosemary said.
Shut up. It isn't that funny.
Seriously, it wasn't that funny.
Rosemary and I had no idea who Little Hiawatha was, or why the mention of him, or the boy in yellow swim trunks, or the thing with the donuts should make Erica, Sophie, and Caroline laugh so hard. To tell the truth, it sort of made me feel left out. This made me worry about other things I was going to feel left out of, like Missy's twirl-tacular.
Were they going to come home from that with all sorts of private jokes, like the Little Hiawatha one, that I wasn't going to understand?
Maybe I'd made a mistake choosing to go to Brittany's birthday party instead.
And that was the other thing. I couldn't make a lovely photo album because I didn't even have any photos of myself with her to give to Brittany Houser on her birthday. I didn't even have any private jokes with Brittany Houser. Unless you counted the fact that she'd put her mom's cat in a suitcase and shook it around, and I'd told on her and she'd tortured me about it for weeks afterward by calling me Allie Stinkle. Because she and I weren't even that good friends. We were frenemies, really. Which is a mix of friends and enemies. We'd started out friends, then become enemies. Then she tried to become my friend, then I'd shoved a cupcake in her face. And now, for some reason, she was still trying to be my friend. I was sort of starting to regret saying I'd go to Brittany's party. Especially when I went home for lunch that day and yelled from the mudroom, which, for once, really was filled with mud because it was raining so hard, Kevin and I got soaked walking from school.
Mom, what did you get for me to give to Brittany for her birthday?
We have to give her something super good. Because Cheyenne O'Malley says you have to get something that costs equal to or more than whatever Brittany's parents are spending on what I'm going to eat and drink at the party. Not to mention the cost of my going to Glitterati and however much it's going to cost for me to spend the night at the Hilton Hotel. Mom? Mom? But there was no response from Mom. Just nothing. Which was weird, because she and Dad weren't supposed to leave for the airport until later that night. I followed Kevin into the kitchen, where Mark was already standing. He'd gotten home before us, since he'd ridden his bike, but that meant he was more soaked. He hadn't even gone upstairs to change out of his sopping wet clothes yet. He was just standing there making a big puddle on the kitchen floor. At first, I had no idea why. Until I saw that he was staring at Mom. Mom, who was on the phone by the kitchen counter, with a very worried expression on her face. She was going, uh-huh, of course, I understand. Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm just so sorry. What had happened? Clearly something very, very bad. Mom looked awful. Her face was pale and she was holding the phone so tightly, her knuckles were white. I knew right away that something had gone wrong. And I knew what it was, too. My lie. My lie about how Mom was making me go to Brittany Houser's party had been found out. I didn't know who had told. Probably no one had done it maliciously, which means on purpose and to be evil. It had probably just slipped out. And now I was going to get in big trouble. I would probably be grounded, and I wouldn't be able to go to Brittany's party or to the annual Little Miss Majorette baton twirling twirltacular. Of course, I had brought it all on myself. But still, it wasn't fair. I had only been trying to spare my friend's feelings. It hadn't been a lie to hurt anyone. I had done it so as not to hurt anyone. I stood there in the kitchen, trying to figure out what to do. Should I go to my room now, before my mom could send me there? Surely she'd let me have lunch first. My parents had never let me starve before. What was going to happen? Who was that on the phone? Mr. Hauser? Was my mom going to get fired? Could you get fired from a job you weren't paid for? Probably, since my mom had had to audition for it in the first place. I couldn't believe how much trouble I was in. My mom really liked that job. And Harmony, Uncle Jay's girlfriend, really liked my mom's job, too. She was trying to get a summer internship with Lynn Martinez, the news anchor at the station that showed good news. Now, because of me, that wouldn't happen either. I had ruined everything. I couldn't lie about it either. The one thing my parents hate more than anything in the world is lying. You can pretty much do whatever you want in my house, and you'll get in trouble for it, sure. But in my house, nothing will get you in bigger trouble than lying. That's a rule. My parents can't stand lying. So, though it might have seemed like a good idea to make up some big excuse about why I'd lied to Erica and Caroline and Sophie about my mom's job being on the line if I didn't go to Brittany's party, I didn't. Because she already looked like she was in a bad mood. A bad enough mood that if I didn't just confess, she might kill me on the spot. Mom, I said as soon as she hung up. Listen, I can explain. Mom reached up and pushed some of her hair from her face. Not now, Allie. That, Mom said, was your great aunt Joyce. She threw out her back giving her cat, Mr. Tinkles, a bath. So now she won't be coming to stay while your dad and I are at my cousin Freddie's wedding. I closed my mouth. So that hadn't been Lynn Martinez or Mr. Hauser on the phone with my mom? No one had found out about my big lie? I was actually safe? There was a beat while we all held our breath. Did this mean Mom and Dad wouldn't be going to cousin Freddie's wedding? Or, I guess your Uncle Jay will be staying with you instead. Mom finished. Mark, Kevin, and I all looked at one another. It was really hard, but we restrained an urge to high-five one another. Even though we were all sorry for Great Aunt Joyce and the pain she was going through, hearing this was like hearing that Christmas and our birthdays had all come at once. Uncle Jay was staying with us for a whole weekend instead of Great Aunt Joyce? It was truly a miracle. Whatever had happened to make Great Aunt Joyce throw out her back while giving Mr. Tinkles a bath? And who gave cats baths? I could understand it if the cat was an outdoor cat who got into a fight with a skunk or something. But Mr. Tinkles is an indoor cat and not a show cat like Lady Serena Archibald. It could not have happened to someone who deserved it more. I mean, why make someone eat tomatoes when they make her feel like she is choking? That is nothing but mean. It's not funny, Mom said, seeing our smiles. Great Aunt Joyce is a very kind person. Not really, Mom. But you can't always change Mom's minds about things. And don't think it's going to be like last time Uncle Jay stayed over, Mom went on. There will be no hide-and-seek in the dark with bicycle lights on your heads. There will be no Hot Pockets morning, noon, and night. I am going to have someone look in on you to make sure you kids are being fed properly. This made us curious. Because I am the oldest, and naturally it is my job to do these things, I asked, who? Mom was already flipping through her address book. Harmony, of course, she said.